And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
Greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day with all kinds of breaking stories involving the great and the not so great voices that you hear in a cacophony, just involving shouting in every direction in this country. But one voice that is very clear and that I heard very directly yesterday was the voice of the former Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, who was at a conference at Grove City College, which I'm very pleased to support. I was very pleased to participate. Actually, I was the speaker immediately before Mike Pence, and then he gave a devastatingly effective speech about why Americans of every ethnicity, of every religious faith or no religious faith should be concerned about the issue of anti-Semitism. I'm honored that he's joined us on the line. Vice President Pence, that was a terrific address, and the question period that you did after the address, even better. Congratulations on from what you said yesterday.
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm very humbled by that. Thank you for being at Grove City College and lending your voice to, I thought, a very important conference on anti-Semitism. I mean, to see the way this has emerged in the wake of the worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust, I think has taken millions of Americans aback, particularly as it's manifested on college and university campuses. So I'm going to commend you and commend everyone at Grove City for taking this issue on head on and creating a forum where voices like yours and hopefully ours can really put daylight on the dangers of anti-Semitism today, how pernicious it is in the country, and how incomprehensible it is as a response to Israel's justified war against the murderous terrorist organization of Hamas.
Well, one of the things that was exciting yesterday when you spoke and that I think electrified everyone in the group was the announcement that they are launching at Grove City College a new center for the study of anti-Semitism, really to confront anti-Semitism. And you are going to be one of the non-resident initial fellows for this center. When will that commence, or has it already commenced, the work of this
center? It actually commenced this week, Michael. It's the Center for Faith and Public Life was really the brainchild of President Paul McNulty at Grove City College, which, as you know, is just a storied Christian college of many, many years in Western Pennsylvania. It's got an international reputation. For so many reasons, he thought it was important that we create a forum and create an opportunity for students to come together and really study the issues of faith in public life, to take on issues like anti-Semitism, and really equip this rising generation with the tools they need to not only defend their faith, but defend the freedom of religion of every American. And that really is what's what's at stake here. I recounted yesterday in that those remarks is we've all seen the heinous examples of anti-Semitism that have emerged in campuses where people inexplicably have waved Palestinian flags and actually defended what happened on October the 7th. But also, I was just deeply moved by the account that I read that took place in San Francisco, where a Holocaust survivor, an 89-year-old woman, rose to the podium to speak on behalf of the upcoming Holocaust Memorial Day, and then mentioned the atrocities of October 7th in passing, and was literally shouted down at the podium, Michael.
This was at the Berkeley City Council, I believe, right?
It was at the Berkeley City Council, and I, you know, something, you know, deeply wrong is afoot, and it's not a new issue for Michael Medved, certainly, but you might have been glad to learn yesterday that even when I was a member of the House of Representatives, I co-founded the Anti-Semitism Caucus with the only Holocaust survivor to ever serve in Congress, the late Tom Lantos of California. He was he was probably as liberal as I am conservative, Michael, but he was a truly great man, understood the moral imperative of American leadership in the world, of vital importance of our relationship with Israel, and it was my great honor to co-found that caucus in the Congress. But it seems like these issues are now more important than ever, and beyond all the rhetoric, I tried to make the point, because we weren't terribly far from Pittsburgh at Grove City College, that anti-Semitism is not just morally objectionable and deeply offensive to freedom-loving Americans, but it's also dangerous. I mean, it was Pittsburgh and the Tree of Life Synagogue that in 2018 was the site of literally the worst attack on a Jewish community and a synagogue in American history. And I welcome the judgment, the death penalty that was essentially handed down last fall against the perpetrator. But it's one of the reasons why yesterday was so important. And it was so good of you to make the trip.
I had my own address, and I began my address by saying that you had because it was right after you had spoken. I was going to ask people, what's your favorite Bible verse? And you had quoted that precise Bible verse, Genesis 12. Sentences 1-3 about the children of Abraham, and those who bless the children of Abraham will be blessed, and those who curse the children of Abraham will be cursed. Speaking of that, one of the things that's very striking right now, and is another point you made that was very important, is many of these pro-Palestinian demonstrations are not just pro-Palestinian, they're anti-American. Whereas when there are big rallies for Israel, and there have been some, not just recently, but over many decades, there are Israeli flags and American flags. I've never seen any of these Palestinian demonstrations where they actually show Old Glory and recognize part of what this country has been from the very beginning. We have a few minutes more with Vice President Mike Pence. And by the way, two wonderful books that we should remind people about. One, his most recent book, which is it becomes a moment-by-moment guide of some of his experiences as vice president, where he did such great honor to the office. So Help Me God is the title of that book. And then there is also Go Home for Dinner, which is advice on how faith makes a family and family makes a life. That's by Mike Pence and Charlotte Pence Bond, who is a relative. I think a daughter. Is that right?
It's my daughter.
Terrific. And how wonderful. What a wonderful thing to do as a family project. That book just released a couple of months ago. We will be right back with the one, the only former Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, talking about some of America's immediate future and the lessons we need to take to heart. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you, because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
CBS News covered yesterday that former Vice President Mike Pence will be teaching a course at Grove City College, the conservative Christian school announced on Thursday. Pence will serve as the distinguished visiting fellow for the new Center for Faith and Public Life, which the college said will explore and support the presence of Christian faith in public institutions. Grove City President Paul J. McNulty says Pence, who was on campus yesterday, as I was, to address an annual conference, will play a key role in the center's work. Obviously, we know this from your book, So Help Me God. We know this from your lifetime of work, your lifetime of commitment, where you have always said you are a Christian first, an American second, and a Republican third. But third is still pretty good. In terms of those commitments, Mike Pence, what can be done to actually try to bring this country together? There's a big new movie that's released today called Civil War, which is basically a dystopian future where everybody's killing one another. And it's scary because you can almost imagine it. What do we do to bring our country back to at least some general feeling of brotherhood, sisterhood, and unity?
Well, I read a brief review this morning about that new movie. It was, I guess, made by a European filmmaker.
He's a Brit, and the movie's horrific. It's not pro-American.
They said they always have a much dimmer view of the American people than reality. Look, I honestly think that the challenge that we face in this country is to have government as good as our people. I said this after I left Pennsylvania yesterday. I spoke at a conference on the Constitution in Chicago, sponsored by National Review, which is, you know, well. And I think that the overwhelming majority of the American people cherish the liberties enshrined in our Constitution. They cherish the ideals in the Declaration of Independence, and that there will always be more that unites us in this country than could ever divide us. But I think that we are going through a time where we, in many respects, have seen, you know, failure in institutions that's undermined the confidence of the American people. I mean, we have the worst crisis at the border in American history, a crisis in inflation that's back on the rise. We saw that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, and I just think all of these things, the failed policies of the Biden administration, have weakened this country at home and abroad. But they've also weakened the ties that bind the American people. But I think it's all still there. I think the idealism of the American people, the faith, their commitment to freedom, is all intact. As I said, I just think we've got to hew to our roots of those traditional values and ideals of the American people, and then we've got to produce leadership that treats one another the way that the American people treat each other just about every day.
And how profound! I know you tweeted that yesterday. Now more than ever, America needs the Republican Party to be the party of the Constitution. I wondered if you had any comment. Yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, while you were talking about the Constitution, was speaking in Tunnel Hill, Georgia, and she said she regrets that January 6th was not successful. actually, I thought January 6th was successful, thanks to you.
Well, thank you, Mike. I know that by God's grace, I did my duty that day under the Constitution of the United States. And, you know, as I said at that other venue yesterday, we're living in a time, you know, where we've seen, frankly, leaders in both political parties that have essentially, lost their fealty to the Constitution. I mean, Joe Biden just this last week once again is pushing an unconstitutional student loan bailout that the U.S. Supreme Court has already rejected once. I think the fact that he's refused to faithfully execute the laws of our country at the border represents a breach of his oath of office. But Democrats, you know, want to trample on the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. They want to trample on the Second Amendment. But frankly, as I also said yesterday, it's disappointing to me that there are voices in our party that continue to maintain that I should have set aside my oath to the Constitution, overturned the election. There are voices in our party that want to consolidate more power in the executive branch. And ultimately, there are voices in our party that think that we should walk away from the cause of the sanctity of life at the national level. And I, for my part, I just think hewing back to those ideals, standing firmly on our Constitution and our Declaration, it's not only the pathway toward unifying the country, but it's actually the pathway toward a future of freedom and prosperity for every American.
In terms of Mike Pence, do you have another book project in mind? We know now all about this very exciting project at Grove City College in Western Pennsylvania. But what else is on the schedule for the Pence family?
Well, we're trying to lean into that traditional Reagan conservatism today. I mean, the Republican primary voters have decided who they're for. Working at advancingamericanfreedom.com, which is our foundation in Washington, we're going to spend the rest of this year focusing on what we're for. You know, the time that I joined the Republican Party, Michael, it's because I was drawn to the ideals expressed and personified by President Ronald Reagan, a commitment to a strong defense, American leadership in the world, limited government, fiscal responsibility, traditional values, the right to life. But we have a debate within the Republican Party today whether many of those ideals at home and abroad are still relevant. So we're going to continue to do our part to make the case for that traditional conservatism and really get behind candidates at every level that are willing to step up. And it's not just a matter of winning an argument. It's about believing in my heart of hearts that all of those policies have made America stronger and more prosperous and more secure and more free. And I do believe today that if the Republican Party is not fighting for those values, no one will. And so that's where our energies are. And the writing and the speaking that we're doing in the days ahead will all be reflective of that. But people curious about what we're doing can go to advancingamericanfreedom.com online and keep up with all of that work.
And don't forget, Go Home for Dinner and So Help Me God, the two new books, and advancingamericanfreedom.com. Godspeed to you. Michael Medved Show, there is still 85% off, which is an unprecedented bargain. It really is for the whole entire complete unexpurgated Medved History Store library. And this provides you with the MP3 for download at your convenience. Literally hundreds of hours of inspiration and education and enlightenment and entertainment. The History Store Library, only 15% of the prior cost. And it's a remarkable deal. One of the things that we were talking about with Vice President Pence was the history of anti-Semitism. We have history programs about that. And what it really is about in America is how rare and how secondary anti-Semitism has been in this country where Jewish people have thrived since Vice President Pence was talking about the famous letter to the Newport Touro congregation, Jewish congregation in Newport, Rhode Island, that letter that President Washington wrote in 1790. Anyway, check it all out. It's at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com. It is, we're proud to see that so many people are availing themselves of this information and this source at this tremendous reduced cost. Okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene, commenting on some recent history in her own right. She was in Tunnel, Georgia. I had asked the Vice President Pence about this, but here is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is still playing with the idea of dumping or trying to get rid of the Speaker of the House. Here is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
If I had it my way, we would have impeached him a long time ago. Actually, if I had it my way, we would have been successful in our objection on January 6th, and he wouldn't even be president.
Okay. Can someone imagine what does success look like? What does it mean to be successful on January 6th? We were successful in continuing this sacred American tradition, and it is sacred, and it is unique, and it is unprecedented, of peaceful transition of power. The only exception to that was the Civil War. No, not the one in the movie today, but the one in 1861 to 1865. That was a war because people did not accept the result of a presidential election, which Abraham Lincoln won. And so it would have been successful on January 6th. If the election had been overturned, or probably what they would have done is they would have decertified enough electoral votes so that no one had a majority, and then it went to the House of Representatives and it became what they call a contingent election. And this is something that hasn't happened in America since 1824, and it didn't work out that well for the United States in 1824. When John Quincy Adams won the presidency in the House of Representatives over Andrew Jackson, despite the fact that Jackson had more electoral votes and more popular votes. In any event, that's part of what you find out about in the Medved History Store Library. We'll get to President Trump in a moment. Congressman Roy Neils, who has been struggling. They finally, on the fourth try this morning, the Congress of the United States, thank you, Speaker Mike Johnson, they finally got a reauthorization of the FISA Act. And this provides for surveillance, not of Americans, but of foreign nationals in this country who are suspected of jeopardizing the national security. They finally did it. It really part bipartisan necessity creates a need to extend this very important anti-terrorism and anti-espionage law. Here's what Congressman Nails says about the current state of the Republican conference in the House. Listen.
We're dysfunctional. We are. It's come somewhat embarrassing to make bite us in the butt a little bit in November. But my focus is Donald J. Trump now, because nobody can manage his conference. The Lord Jesus himself could not manage his conference.
And the Lord Jesus himself could not manage the House Republican conference. Well, there's that. I think it would be pretty tough to say anyone is going to manage President Trump. the former president, wants to be the future president. He was in a phone interview with Wayne Allen Root, who, among other things, is a former libertarian candidate for vice president. Got almost a little bit more than 1% of the vote. In any event, he was on America Real, Real America's Voice Network. And this is a new theory on why groups like Jewish people and black people have voted in the past for Democrats. Listen, clip nine.
I don't want to talk about the attack of October 7th on Israel because Biden is no fan of Israel. Any Jewish person that right. votes for Biden does not love Israel. And frankly, it should be spoken to. How a Jewish person can vote for Biden is, or a Democrat, because they are on the side 100% of the Palestinians, and he doesn't know how to get out of it. He's stuck. But he is, if you look at what he's done, he is totally on the side of the Palestinians. And frankly, it's incredible that historically Jewish people vote for Democrats. To me, I cannot. And I know you're Jewish, Wayne, and I know you vote for me, but I don't understand it, and you probably don't understand it either. Maybe it's just a bad habit when you vote for a Democrat, but I don't know how anybody that's Jewish can vote for a Democrat. A lot of it's habit.
That's all it is.
Jewish people by habit.
And it's changing.
They vote for the Democrat, and black people by habit vote for the Democrats.
Right.
But now the African-American population is, we're at the highest level anyone's ever been at as a Republican.
Okay, that's of course not true, because the Republican Party used to be the home of black voters until Franklin Roosevelt's administration. The great bulk of African American people voted for Democrats. Wayne Allen Root describes himself, he is of Jewish ancestry, but he's an evangelical Christian. And the idea that Joe Biden is 100% pro-Palestinian and against Israel, thank God that's not the case. It's just, it's not the case, and it's not fair. And again, for President Trump to continue to challenge the Jewishness of people who, the majority of Jews, who tend to vote Democratic. Ouch. We will be right back on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there's breaking news that's about 2 hours old now. The Israeli Defense Forces say that some 40 rockets were fired from Lebanon at northern Israel. Some of those rockets were intercepted by the Iron Dome, while others impacted open areas or fell short and actually struck Lebanon. There were no Israeli injuries in the attack, which was claimed by Hezbollah. This according to the Times of Israel. And then supplementing that, over 40 rocket launches from Lebanon crossed into Israeli territory today. The IDF responded by striking at the sources of the fire. In other words, hopefully taking out some of those rocket launcher facilities and the sites in which they're based. Hezbollah claimed responsibility for the launches. No injuries were reported in Israel as a result of the rocket fire. And this fire comes after nearly 48 hours of quiet on the northern front, raising suspicion at a time when the threat from Iran is at the forefront of people's minds. And may they be safe. It's, and by the way, this is classic. It is right now, it's Shabbat in Israel. And this, of course, follows a pattern from October 1973, from October of 2023, And now this, they, whenever possible, hit on the Sabbath or on major Jewish holidays like Yom Kippur, which was the timing for the attack by Syria and Egypt in 1973. It was the Yom Kippur War, or the October 7th, which was the last holiday of the season of Jewish holidays, the Simchat Torah, and also the Sabbath. So there probably will, who knows, to try to psychoanalyze what is going on with the Iranians and their proxies and their bloodlust. It honestly does not have a rational component to it. What does one think the purpose or the accomplishment would be, other than the prospect of killing people, making people suffer? And by the way, there are already some 60,000 Israelis in northern Israel who have temporarily left their homes. And it's in this context of all of this very serious situation. And again, does this have a personal, do I have a personal stake in this? You bet I do. Of course I do. I have my brother and his 14 grandchildren and four children who are right there in the midst of these events, and plus first cousins and more. But it's in that context that, okay, we're about to go into the next stage of Trump's legal journey. This with the Stormy Daniels hush money trial, which begins on Monday. There's a great deal of speculation of what that trial will mean, both legally and politically. We'll be talking later to Andy McCarthy about that, the legal expert for National Review. But at the same time, there's still every day, and I get them. I'm sure many of you get them. You get the solicitations from Trump. The one today, at this very fateful time, sounded like this.
Donation starting right here, right now, is the number one best way to help us win back the White House. Joe Biden has liberal billionaires bankrolling his crooked campaign. If we're going to defeat his dirty dollars, we'll be really doing it and doing it big. We have to do it because we have to save our country. Monthly support from patriots like you is probably the best way. Even if it's just $5, anything helps. Thank you very much. God bless you.
So, once again, the billionaire, and who just apparently his share of Truth Social has not turned out to be quite the $8 billion people talked about. But still, we're talking about somebody who has access to $1,000 million at least, and more than that. And he is expecting your grandma to cover the bill. This is speculation also, and we will get to more of a context. Megyn Kelly on News Nation with legal expert Dan Abrams. Looking forward to the hush money trial that is going to have Trump in person right there in the courtroom starting Monday. They're starting jury selection on Monday. This is what Megyn Kelly talked about with Dan Abrams.
At least on the misdemeanor, it seems to me that they've, you know, it's going to be a tough defense.
Oh, he's getting convicted. I don't really think there's a lot of mystery about that. He shouldn't, but he's going to get convicted. The jury's going to hate him. Manhattan went 92%, between 87 and 92% for Joe Biden. That's where this is going to be tried. These are not Trump lovers, and even the Trump survey that he attached to his most recent motion showed that 61% of the jury pool that they surveyed already thinks he's guilty.
But they also could be just following the evidence. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, again, putting aside whether they should have been prosecuted, whether you're biased or not biased, and they're going to try and root that stuff out, the facts in the case. I mean, for example, you don't actually believe Trump didn't have an affair with Stormy Daniels, as he says, right?
I do not. I believe there was an interlude. I don't know if affair may be too
strong. Whatever. Yes.
Interlude. That's a very nice and euphemistic description. We're going to be speaking about that forthcoming case with Andrew McCarthy of National Review coming up on the MedVet Show. And then we're also, well, we have time for one more recommendation. President Trump, and this is honestly tough to figure out, is endorsing one of his competitors. How? Why? Listen.
RFK Jr. is going to be taking away votes from Crooked Joe Biden, and he should, because he's actually better than Biden. He's much better than Biden. If I were a Democrat, I'd vote for RFK Jr. every single time over Biden, because he's frankly more in line with Democrats. RFK Jr.'s running mate, Nicole Shanahan, is also a very liberal person, but that's okay. She's got plenty of money from her ex-husband. Kennedy is a radical left Democrat and always will be, but he's a better man than Joe Biden, that I can tell you. It's great for MAGA. I hope he continues to run, but the communists will make it very hard on him to get on the ballot, as they did for him as a Democrat. He wanted to get on the ballot. They made it very, very difficult for him. They really went after him viciously, just like they go after me. Welcome to the crowd, RFK Jr.
Okay. Again, you'll note, I wonder who he has in mind as a communist. Meanwhile, a CNN report, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign manager said earlier this week that a New York campaign staff member, Rita Palma, was fired after she told GOP voters in a meeting last week that preventing Joe Biden's victory was her number one priority. And she encouraged them to volunteer for former President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. So is this a deal where there are people in the RFK campaign who are recommending Trump, and Trump himself recommending, if I were a Democrat, I'd vote for our Robert Kennedy? If you were a Democrat, you'd still vote for you. I mean, it doesn't change who you are if you identify with a different party. We terminated her contract for misrepresentation immediately upon seeing the longer video in which she gave an inaccurate job title and described a conversation that did not happen. So said Amaryllis Fox Kennedy, Kennedy's campaign manager and daughter-in-law, in a post on X. In this greatest nation on God's green earth.